Welcome to Bootstrap MD, the Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast, your source to help you, the entrepreneurial doctor, live life on your own terms. Get new ideas and inspiration to help you find more balance in your professional life. If you're ready to get the knowledge without all the hype, you've come to the right place. It's the Bootstrap MD Podcast. And now your host, Dr. Mike Wu Ming.
Doctors change lives every day, but what happens when life changes yours? A single injury, a sudden illness, your career, your income, your future can shift in an instant. The best physicians don't just plan for success, they protect it. At Set for Life Insurance, they believe financial security isn't a luxury, it's a necessity. True owned occupational disability insurance ensures that no matter what happens, your future stays in your hands. Because protecting your income means protecting everything you built. Visit drpodcastnetwork.co/setforlife today. Secure your future before life makes a choice for you. Hey guys, this is Dr. Mike Wu Ming. Welcome to another edition of Bootstrap MD, the podcast for physician, healthcare, and entrepreneurs. And today we're going to talk about a subject that unfortunately may make a lot of people a little bit irritated, a little bit upset, but I think my guest can handle it because he's got a solution to help all of us doctors get through it. And we're going to be talking about health insurance. And on today, I'm delighted to have on the program Andy Schoonover. He's the founder and CEO of Crowd Health, which is a community-powered alternative to health insurance that provides a revolutionary way of paying for healthcare bills through crowdfunding. Andy was previously CEO of a company called VRI, a healthcare technology company, focused on monitoring patients with chronic conditions out of their homes. He's a graduate of the University of Virginia and the Stanford University's Graduate School of Business. So we're going to be discussing health insurance, which is a topic that is sure to, I think we'll get some questions on this, Andy. So I want to welcome you to the program today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. It sounds like you're an entrepreneur because you said, I started one healthcare company, one, and I start another one. Well, tell us about your background and then what eventually led you to forming Crowd Health.
Yes, you're totally right. I started a company. I ran it for about a decade. We were doing remote patient monitoring. So you're monitoring people with blood pressure and blood sugars and weight and pulse and oximetry and things like that, primarily for folks with chronic conditions. Funny enough, selling those into health plans to keep people from going to the hospital. Sold that company, and like many of us, I got my health insurance through my employer. And so since I didn't have an employer anymore, I had a decision to make. I'd go to COBRA, which was incredibly expensive, or I thought my only other alternative was to go to healthcare.gov and get an Affordable Care Act plan, which I did. And that was, I think, $1,100 or $1,200 for me, my wife, and my two girls. And I joked it worked until I had to use it. My little one, who was having recurring ear infections, we went to the pediatrician who said she had a hole in her eardrum. And so we went to the ear, nose, and throat doctor who confirmed that and said she had to get tubes in her ears. All the doctors here know what that's like. It's a pretty easy procedure. It's 15 minutes. I think we were in the hospital for a total of an hour. And I got the bill from the hospital a few weeks later, and it was $8,000. So I'm just like, $8,000 for a 15-minute procedure. We would all love that hourly rate, right? And little did I know, I was going to get another note from my insurance company via snail mail, funny enough, that it was medically unnecessary. And so they weren't going to pay for the procedure. I went through a couple rounds of appeals. And at the end, they just said, nope, not going to pay for it. And in fact, our ear, nose, and throat doctor actually delayed his vacation for a day because their ears were so bad. And he was worried about long-term hearing loss. And by the way, after the procedure, she was totally fine. She slept, no more ear infections. Funny enough how that works. It was at that point where I called the health insurance plan. I was like, look, you guys aren't going to pay my bills. I'm not going to pay your bills. And so I quit. And so I quit health insurance and became uninsured. And as you can probably imagine, my wife looked at me and was like, so what are we going to do now? And over the course of 18 months, I really figured out that by paying in cash, either directly to docs or hospitals, whatever, we could get a pretty significant discount by doing that because we're ripping out all the middlemen. Y'all don't have to worry about billing insurance and all those kinds of things. And so the prices are better. And it got to the end of that. I was like, I bet other people would like something like this too. It's working for my family. I bet you it'll work for other families. And out of pain became a mission to really build a true alternative to health insurance. And we started Crowd Health in 2021. So we're about 4 years into the company. We have about 10,000 members who are members of that community. And in essence, what we're doing is we're providing a peer-to-peer funding platform that enables people to pay cash at the point of care for all of their healthcare needs. So this is anything from a pediatrician visit to dozens of cancer cases and heart surgeries and brain surgeries and all kinds of things over that period of time. And so that's a little bit of background of the company, and happy to go into the mechanics of how all this works. But yeah, in essence, what we're trying to do is make your doctor's lives better by paying them directly, as opposed to them having to fight with health insurance plans.
Yeah, so let's get into crowdfunding, because when you think of crowdfunding, I think a whole bunch of different things, you know, like a Kickstarter and things like that. So how does it work in healthcare? Tell me how that works.
A lot of people think of GoFundMe, and while we are built on a crowdfunding model, it's structured a little bit differently. Let's just say that I have a broken arm and it's $5,000. We ask the member to commit the first $500. And then we'll go out to the community for the remaining 4,500. So just to make math easy, we'll ask 45 people in the community for $100. And if they say yes, then $100 goes from their account to my account. And at the end of the day, when I can get 45 people to say yes, then I have that 4,500 plus the 500. So when I show up at the doctor, I can pay him or her the $5,000 for my broken arm. I mean, in an ER visit, for example, it's a big ER bill. I get those bills after the fact. They submit them to us, we'll negotiate on their behalves, and then once we get a final negotiated rate, then we'll go to the community, fund that so that the member can pay for the ER visit directly to the hospital. If it's a pre-planned visit, like I tore my ACL or whatever ends up being, and it's $20,000, we'll go and fund that before the member actually goes and gets the surgery so that they have the money then to, again, pay the surgery at the point of care. And again, resulting in significantly better pricing than if the member were to use health insurance.
And so forgive me, because I get part of it. So what is the benefit from the 45 other people? Is it to give you the $100?
So in GoFundMe, if you have a kid with cancer or one of those things, like the probability of you getting your thing funded is really high. But otherwise, a broken arm or whatever it may be is not really a heart tugger, right? Like it's hard to get funds for that. So what we do is when I submit my bill to the community, they know the last 10 times that I've been asked, what have I said? Have I said yes or have I said no? And if I've said yes, then I'm a good member of the community. And so 100% of the time, those have gotten funded. Now, if I say no, then I'm not a good member of the community. And so those don't get funded. And so there's this reciprocity within this community, and there's reciprocity within every kind of community that we're a part of, right? It's just the dynamics of being a part of a community that incentivizes people to help others in the community, even though it might not be a super emotional, heart-tugging type of condition. So that's how that operates. And 98% of the time we ask people, they will say yes. And this is over about 20,000 bills over the last 4 years. So we have a pretty good sample size here to prove out that this model works.
Yeah, I'm sure you've got some great success stories. Maybe you could share a few of them.
Sure. One of our biggest was a guy, and it was fishing in Montana. And he was in wolf bear country. And so he had a 44 around his chest, a holster, and he caught a fish. He leaned down and that 44 fell out of his holster. It hit a rock. It went off. The bullet went into his calf, out the back of his calf, into his thigh, out the top of his thigh, into his chest and out his back. He said he was looking down and there's green stuff coming out of his chest and he thought he was dead. I guess that was bile or something. You docs know better than I do what that is. But so he had to get medevaced out from that creek or the river that he was fishing in. He was in a coma when he ended up in the hospital. They wouldn't let him drive home from Montana to California, and he got sepsis on the way home, and he was in sepsis for a while in a random hospital somewhere. And that's what bill was approaching $1 million. And so what he did is all those bills that were coming into his house after, he submitted them to CrowdHealth. We negotiated them on his behalf. I think we got those bills down to $250,000, something like that. We submitted those bills to the community. And within a few weeks of us getting those bills and negotiating and submitting them, he had enough money then to go and pay for all of that, the multiple hospitals, the multiple prescription drugs he was taking, to medevac him out. And so that was one of our bigger bills. That's, I think, an interesting one. And as you can probably imagine, that guy's our biggest fan.
So in how many members do you currently have?
About 10,000.
About 10,000. Now, are a lot of them, like yourself, they completely said, I'm done with insurance, I'm going, or do some, maybe they're not so ready to do it, and maybe they have something on the side.
It's a great question. About 80% of the people are totally uninsured. They don't have any insurance at all. And 20% of our people have health insurance. And most of those people are in one of two categories. One is they have this really high deductible plan, and we're seeing through the ACA plans that some of these plans have $10,000, $12,000, $14,000 deductibles. And so we will help them with those deductibles. But 80% are totally uninsured, and they're totally relying upon the community to help them out in the event of a really large bill.
So this is kind of probably a loaded question, and I don't know if you can answer this. Why is our healthcare system, specifically our insurance, why is it so broken?
It's a really good question. And people ask me, make the statement, healthcare is so complex. And I'm like, look, I don't think healthcare is that complex. So in essence, what we have is, a seller of healthcare, which are these big hospital systems generally. And I know that your audience is more entrepreneurial and more kind of cash pay friendly than the hospital systems, but they clearly want the price to go up. And I, even though I'm on the other side of what you all do, I think it's where we live in a capitalistic society, you should get as much for your services as the market can bear. But on the other hand, typically there's another invisible hand that's pushing those prices down. But in healthcare, there's not, because the sellers of healthcare, the buyers of healthcare, which are these health insurance companies, and very few people know this, they actually want price of healthcare to go up too. And so for just a quick second, there's this idea of a medical loss ratio where you can only hold on to 15% of premiums for administrative costs and profit. And so if you would just make up a health plan that has $100 million of premiums, they can use $15 million of that for administrative costs and profit. So what do they want to do to grow the business? They actually want premiums to go up so they can make more money. Now imagine premiums went down by 10%. So instead of $15 million for administrative and profit, you have $13.5 million for administrative and profit. You got to cut salaries, you got to cut people, you got to cut your trips for your executives to Cabo, you got to start cutting, right? And as we're seeing now in the United States, nobody likes cutting, especially the people who get cut. And so there's an incentive for the insurance companies to continue to see premiums to rise, because if premiums rise, their profits rise. So in essence, you have the buyer of healthcare, which are the insurance companies, and the seller of healthcare, which are hospital systems, both wanting the price to go up. And so it doesn't take a PhD in economics to understand if the buyer and the seller want the price to go up, guess what? The price is going up. And so that's why we're seeing these ludicrous prices, especially coming out of the hospital systems for some of these procedures. And that's in essence what we're trying to combat.
Now, as I mentioned before we recorded this podcast, I said most of my audience, they're either interested in starting up their own practice or they're already on their own practice, and one of them own their own cash pay physicians. How does your model support or perhaps impact independent or cash pay physicians?
I hear from physicians, I think the only people that love us more than our members are independent physicians, because they want to get paid in cash. Like, they don't want to deal with the headache of billing health insurance plans. There's a study that just came out by, I think it was Becker's, I believe, that doctors spend 15 and a half hours a week fighting with health insurance plans to get paid. And I know you all put in long hours, but for the rest of us, that's a couple of days a week. So just fighting to get paid. And I couldn't imagine spending two of my 5 days fighting just to get paid. And so the fact that our members are paying at the point of care, you don't have to fight insurance companies. You don't have to have billers. You don't have to wait for your money to come in. And so all of these things are enabling independent doctors to, I think, be much more viable.
America spends more on healthcare than any other country, yet we rank 48th in life expectancy. We spend trillions, but 200,000 insured people still declare medical bankruptcy every year. Clearly, the system is broken. But what if there was a way to take back control, to break free from inflated costs and red tape? That's exactly what Crowd Health was created, a smarter, more transparent way to pay for healthcare. No middleman. no bureaucracy, just a community helping each other when it matters most. Join the revolution. Go to joincrowdhealth.com and use promo code BootstrapMD for a discount on your first 3 months. Because your health should be in your hands, not theirs.
I think the other component of this that I've heard from doctors that they really love is the doctor-patient relationship. Many times you have a health insurance plan or a government or employer or all three sitting in between you and your patient so that you can't actually do what you need to do for your patient to make them better. And so if you rip all those people out from the middle and it's between me and my doctor, it's an incredible experience. And that's what our members are finding. When the doctors find out they're uninsured, they're like, oh, that's great. Like, we can actually make a decision that's right for you as opposed to what's right for the insurance plan. And so I think there's just a ton of freedom of and taking more people who are willing to pay in cash, and doctors are loving it. And so we try to get our members to go to independent doctors to stay out of the hospital systems. They're easier to work with. They love cash pay patients. They're, I think the integrity of these doctors with the fact that they're still independent is higher than the norm. And so we try to get our members to be independent docs. They're because the outcomes seem to be better too.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many, I could go on hours upon hours how I hear from physicians, and being a physician myself, I've left insurance-based medicine. That was 10 plus 12 years ago, but I still see a lot of the things that we see in dealing with insurance-based medicine is you have to code. So we have to code for certain times that we spent with the patients. And we're so reluctant to overcode or overbill at what we do because we're so afraid of an audit. Many physicians undercode. So we're actually telling you less stuff than we're doing. Imagine you hiring a plumber and their plumber is doing all the work. We're going to charge you. I only replaced like one of the pipes, even though I replaced three of the pipes.
Yeah.
Because we're so afraid of someone looking over our back and afraid of an audit. So, so I looked on your website. So how would a clinician who might be interested, how do they get seen through CrowdHealth? What would be the steps to go about letting them know that you're interested in taking CrowdHealth members?
Yeah, there's two ways. One is we've got a physician's portal. You can go up to the top of our page at joincrowdhealth.com, and there's a way for physicians to enter their information to give those to us. And then what that does is that goes into a database. And if we have a member in your area who's looking for whatever, a primary care doc, we now have you in our database and say, hey, we got three primary care docs. They all love cash pay patients. So you should call them and talk to them and make sure they're right for you. And so we are directing people to primarily independent docs via that database. And it's, in essence, it's a cash pay marketplace where we give you lots of options for docs who are cash pay in your area. And some of those docs may be fee for service, and some of those docs may be DPC docs or concierge docs or whatever it may be. But people want the option of joining whatever doc that they want to. And I'm sure you have some DPC or concierge docs who are on this. We also allow members to submit up to $300 a year for their DPC fees. And I know oftentimes that's not a huge chunk, but it is a big enough chunk to make it interesting to both the DPC doc and our CrowdHealth members that we're the crowd is willing to help with some of these things, because we think that members who go to DPC docs or concierge docs actually have better outcomes. They have lower overall costs. Most of these DPC docs know the right cardiologist in town, who's also an independent doc, and will generally refer to other independent docs who are, again, like-minded. They know how to get cheaper labs. They know how to get cheaper imaging. And so we just find that anybody that has a DPC doc tends to get lower cost of care than people who don't have DPC docs or concierge docs. And we try to direct people to DPC because we think it's a really interesting model that is going to provide better care for our members.
Do you have any sense? I mean, I see, you know, you hear some of these horror stories where just one bad hospital visit can wipe out or bankrupt families. Can you perhaps even share some, like, what the amount of savings that you think someone going through an alternative like this can save versus traditional insurance?
Yeah, sure. One of the things I was doing when I quit health insurance, I went and did the research, and somewhere between 200 and 250,000 families every year go bankrupt due to a health event, even though they have health insurance. So these are people who have health insurance and still go bankrupt. because of these claim denials. So one of the things I didn't understand was that about 20% of claims are denied by health insurance plan. That's a 1 out of 5. Unfortunately, I was the one in that 1 out of 5, given my previous story. And so we wanted to build something where people weren't going to go bankrupt due to healthcare expenses. And so that's why we put up that $500 initial commitment as opposed to a $10,000, $12,000, $14,000 deductible that you have to pay, because most Americans don't have $10,000, $14,000 sitting in their bank account to pay for the deductible in the event that something at the ER really was poor happens, right? In essence, what we do is with these bills, they come in, we get detailed bills, we look through them, we make sure they're not upcoded. And I'll give you a perfect example is probably 70 to 80% of the ER visits we see are coded 99284, 99285, which is critical to like life-threatening. ER visits are 99281 through 99285. That's the way that they code them. And so what I'm saying is that somewhere between 70 to 80% are 99284 or 99285, the highest clinical expertise required. And so we're seeing, you can have a broken finger and you can get billed 99284. You could have a cough and go 99284. One, that person shouldn't be in the ER, but two, they should not be billed 99284. And so we go in with actually attorneys to with the hospitals and we say, listen, you can't bill 99284 for a broken finger. That's upcoding. And so we're seeing an incredible amount of upcode at the physician level. And so when we're seeing an ER bill, most of the time we're getting anywhere between 60 and 90% discounts for our members based upon making sure the bills are real and then paying a fair price for the procedures. Some of these hospitals are charging 7, 8, 900% of Medicare, which from my perspective is price gouging. There's no other way about it. You call the 911, the ambulance takes you to the hospital. You don't get to choose what hospital you go to. They're just going to take you to the closest one. And then the hospitals can bill whatever they want. And so from my perspective, that's price gouging, maybe even to the extent extortion. And so we are fighting on behalf of our members to get those bills down to a reasonable level. Now, we want the hospital to make money, because if the hospital don't make money, then you know our health system falls apart. We're just trying to find a fair rate for that. And 800% of Medicare is not a fair rate. And the beautiful thing with the kind of the specialist, the non-hospital affiliated specialist, is you can now tell me what the price is and I can say yes or no. Just if I go and, you know, buy a new pair of sneakers or whatever, you know what the price is. You can make a decision whether you want that. I went to my cardiologist about a year and a half ago. I had some chest pain and it ended up being a nothing burger. But he was like, look, I need you to take a stress echo. And I was like, great. How much is it? And I think it was like $200. And he's, do you want to do that? I was like, yeah, I want to do that for $200 to make sure my heart's okay. So he's great. Go down the hall. It's $200 if you pay in cash. So I went down, I paid for it in cash at the point of care with a credit card. And I put this on Twitter. And some guy reached out to me like, I got a stress echo test, same thing that you got, same code, same CPT code. And I paid $5,000 for it through health insurance. So I'm paying $200, maybe it's $250, somewhere between $200 and $250. And he's paying $5,000 through health insurance. And so we're seeing this all the time that if you pay in cash, you can get significantly better rates. My labs with health insurance were $750. Without health insurance, I'm paying under $100 for the same set of labs by paying in cash at the point of care. And our business model is to really leverage those, that delta between cash and what health insurance plans pay. And as a result of that, our members are paying about half of what they would pay if they were with some of the BUCAs. It's almost exactly 50% of what United Healthcare would pay for bills over $2,500. Now, bills under $2,500, other than labs and imaging, you know, we're paying about the same and maybe even more to the cardiologists and the primary care docs and things like that. Because I'm like, look, that's not where we're going to break the bank. Where we're going to break the bank is the big ER bills. And I think the doctors are underpaid, actually, and especially when I look at what I'm paying my lawyers and all these other people on an hourly basis. And I don't mind paying the kind of the specialists a little bit more than what the health insurance plans paid, because I think they spend more time with them as a result of that. They actually are relieved, and I think they get better care.
And I know we focused on the physician aspect too, but physicians are also humans too. And many of us aren't W-2 employees. Many of us are 1099, or we own our own practice. And perhaps we don't have our own insurance. So what are the steps if someone was listening and they wanted to join CrowdHealth? What's the commitment, et cetera? Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, great thing about us is we don't have any open enrollment or anything like that. You can sign up whenever you want to sign up. You can leave whenever you want to leave. And so the way that our model works is you pay $55 per person per month. So for a family, let's just say a family of four, you'd pay $220 a month. That would come to CrowdHealth. That's the only way that we make money. We would then ask you for an additional $420 for that family of four, so $640 total. That $420 is going, $420 is going to somebody else in the community directly. So when I ask you for help and you say yes, that money is actually going from your account to somebody else's account to help them. We don't touch it in the middle. So it's a peer-to-peer transaction. And the cool thing about that is you know exactly where your money is going. Your money is going directly to Andy, who broke his arm, or Sally, who had a miscarriage, or somebody who had cancer, or whatever it ends up being, that Andy in Texas broke his arm and needs help. And you said yes, and your money is coming directly to me. But from my perspective, I love getting that request once a month. I only ask you once a month to help somebody because I feel good that I'm paying somebody to help or helping somebody else with their expense. Now, when I got my health insurance bill from United, I wasn't very excited, right? Like, I don't really love paying United Healthcare a big bill every month because I don't know where that money is going. And in fact, when we send out bills for, say, things like the miscarriages, we have women that come back to us and respond and be like, man, I've been there. I know what this family is going through. I know the pain that they're experiencing. And instead of my $100, can I give them $200? You know, and you would never in a million years call United and be like, can I give you more this month? I mean, so we're really trying to build this community of people who want to help each other. And I think this is how medicine and healthcare used to be back in the day. You have these agrarian communities where somebody gets hurt in your community and the community rallies around them to help them to plow their field or plant their seeds or take care of their kids or whatever it ends up being. And so I think there's a community component here that's really powerful. And I think you can see that through 98% of the people who are asked to help somebody saying yes.
I love it. You're giving me hope, Andy. I love this.
I'm trying. And you know what's so funny is our number one category of people who join CrowdHealth are entrepreneurs. So they're entrepreneurs, they're gig workers, they're freelancers. I consider them all business owners. They own their own businesses. Yeah. The number two is clinicians. And I think it's because clinicians are seeing it real time, that this system is so screwed up that they're incentivized to be like, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of something that changes this system because I'm seeing it firsthand and getting screwed by these health insurance companies, just like the patients are. And so I do think it's interesting that our clinicians are our number two most, you know, kind of most represented base of our customers.
I did want to talk about like the future of CrowdHealth, and I noticed some things that you're doing. Tell me about the longevity program. I'm a longevity physician. I'm interested.
Yeah, in more about it's great. I think the two things that we need to do to improve healthcare are one, we need to get prices down. And there's no doubt that the prices in the United States are incredibly way too high. And we do that through negotiating and cash pay and the things that we talked about. But I think the other thing that we have here is people aren't healthy. Everybody like rails on the United States healthcare costs, but and a part of that is price. But I think we're 50% more obese than the other OECD countries. And so obesity does play a huge role into this. I was talking to an orthopedic surgeon maybe a month or two ago here in Austin. And he look, if I have somebody who's 400 pounds, the probability of them having to have to come back for another knee replacement is significantly higher than somebody who's 180 pounds, you know? And so I think obesity plays a huge role in that. Now, as we know, diabetes clearly is an offshoot of obesity and bad, poor eating. And so what we're trying to do is get people to understand what is driving their healthcare. And so what I mean by that is, for example, in the first quarter, we're allowing all of our members to go and get DEXA scans that are fully fundable by the community. And so you go and get your DEXA scan. We've done a ton of education around visceral fat and how important that is and how that's different than your total weight and how BMI doesn't make sense sometimes. And so we want to educate you on those components of your health. The next quarter, we're doing VO2 max. What does VO2 max mean? Why is that important for longevity? We're doing fasting insulin in Q3, I believe it is. What is fasting insulin? Why is that important? Why is that different from A1Cs? What impacts your insulin? What could lead to diabetes? Those types of things. And so people start understanding what their health is by having these metrics. And whatever you measure ends up changing, right? Or the one things you're focused on. And so we do this every single year. So now you know what your, from your DEXA scan, you know what your body fat percentage is, you know what your visceral fat is. And let's get that better between this year and next year. And you track it. What is your fasting insulin? Let's get it better between this year and next year. How do you do that? How do you think about that? And so we're really trying to incentivize our people to really think about this. And actually, people who do have great fasting insulins, do have low visceral fat levels, get a, right now it's a 10% discount. It's about to be a 20% discount to the numbers that I gave you earlier. So you actually get a discount on your crowdfunding component by being metabolically healthy. And we can argue all day long if visceral fat and fasting insulin are good proxies. I think they're pretty good proxy. Like there's nothing perfect, but those are the two that we're measuring right now to give people a, what we are calling a longevity discount on their crowdfunding component.
I love it. I love it. Andy, this has been a great discussion. I really thank you for taking your time to share with what you're doing with your company. Like I said, you're giving us hope, I think, for the future of medicine. What's the best way for them to go to find out more information, including our clinicians wanting to work with CrowdHealth?
Yeah, joincrowdhealth.com is the best place to find us. And if you want to submit your information, like I said, it's up there at the top of the page. You can find it there, or you can email us at hey@joincrowdhealth.com. It's hey@joincrowdhealth.com, and let us know that you're interested in being put in our database. And we'd love to send folks to you. Thank you guys for all you do. You all give me hope, and especially you're trying to buck the system and to go out on your own. And man, we want to support those physicians who are on their own doing their thing and being entrepreneurs. Kudos to all y'all out there who are doing that. Some amazing work that you're doing.
Again, thank you, Andy Anderson-Holm, for CEO and founder of CrowdHealth. Again, thank you for your time. And thank you guys for listening. As entrepreneurs, you have ups and downs in our business. Do everything little each day to get you closer to your goals and keep moving forward. Thanks again, Andy.
Thank you.
You've just listened to the Bootstrap MD podcast. For more valuable resources, as well as past recordings of our show, check out our website at bootstrapmd.com. Now let's get to work.